Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
Well, good morning, Life Church. I have the awesome privilege of doing a song right before Pastor Kevin preaches, and I just want to tell you this message is amazing, and it's for such a time as this. It was about a year ago that my grandfather passed away unexpectedly from a heart attack right at the beginning of December. And I remember kind of being like, out of all the times of the year, you know, Grandpa, Christmas time. And I remember feeling this kind of, man, Christmas will never be the same. And it's true, it won't be ever the same, but I found out that as you move forward with Jesus, new things happen. And as seasons change, God is good through all those seasons. And my wife and I have experienced grief at different levels. My wife lost her mother 4 years ago. And so we wrote this song together for the Christmas season, talking about the hope we have that we will be able to see loved ones again. Because I'm going to be able to see my grandpa, and she's going to be able to see her mother far more than we ever saw them here on earth in eternity with Jesus. And so I pray this song really ministers to you and gives you the insight of heaven during Christmas time. Christmas each year seems to always remind as I look at the tree, I see where your gift should be. The fire burns bright, and the snow falls just right as the family draws near. Me that you're not here, but God, you remind me that for those who have called upon your name, you are faithful, you are true to save. In the moment that they step into eternity, they get to meet the greatest gift of all. They're all wrapped up in Jesus' arms. The pains of yesterday are all gone. They stand before God's throne completely. It's the greatest Christmas of all. Seasons come and go, still I'm learning to let go. My heart still may hurt, but my hope continues to grow and grow. 'Cause God, you remind me that I've called upon your name, and you are faithful, you are true to say. In the moment that I step into eternity, I'll get to meet the greatest gift of all. I'll be wrapped up in Jesus' arms. The pains of yesterday will all be gone. I'll stand before God's throne
completely in awe. Though at Christmas time I miss you the most, it doesn't compare to this glorious hope that one day I will see you face to face. There'll be no more tears left to cry as we stand side by side and behold His glory. We'll get to meet the greatest gift of all. We'll all be wrapped up in Jesus' arms. The pains of yesterday, they will all be gone. We'll stand before God's throne completely in awe. It'll be the greatest Christmas of all.
Amen. Man, what a powerful morning so far already. Amen. The Lord's been doing something all weekend in regards to healing people's hearts and spirits. And today, even in this service, you could sense it during worship that the Holy Spirit was doing a lot of ministry, you know, to people. And so I would like to ask your permission. I have a word from the Lord for you, but obviously we're running about a half an hour longer in worship than normal. And so I want to ask your permission to allow me to give you the entirety of this word. Is that right? Is that okay? If you need to leave because of work or things like that, that's totally appropriate. I know we have a training for our volunteers after this, and so I'm excited to go over there and have some lunch with you and to do some more training, so we're super excited about that. But I really knew in starting this Christmas season off, I needed to deal with this in particular topic. And I believe the Lord's about to free a lot of people. And the word of the Lord is going to go forward and the anointing on it. It's going to be that surgical sword. It's going to go in and cut away some things so that you can be free and move into this season in a whole new way. And so I have a very powerful message for you, but I just want to make sure that you are mentally ready to receive the fullness of it, because I know where we're going and I need the entirety to be able to bring it to you. So thank you for that permission. Grab your Bible if you would, please. Hold that up in the air and repeat this after me. This is my Bible. And I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's word today. Amen. Open up your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. Isaiah 61. I entitled today, I Miss You Most at Christmas Time. There's a lot of individuals that this year it's going to be different than previous years. You have loved ones that have passed on, and the Lord wants to help you heal, and there's an anointing to bring that healing to you, though you'll miss them, and that's appropriate. There's an unhealthy grieving and mourning that can set in. Now, I'm not just going to focus today on people that have lost loved ones, spouses, parents, children, things like that. Sometimes we don't realize that in any loss, there can be an unhealthy grief, an unhealthy sorrow that sets in, and we get stuck there in that captivity, in that place. It could be the loss of a job. There are people that are still mourning the loss of a job that they lost 2 years ago, and your life has not moved forward. And I'm here to tell you, there's more for you. Amen. There's still a next. There are people that lost money back in 2008, and you're still grieving over it. And guess what? The Lord still has a hope and a future and a way to restore in a greater capacity than you could ever imagine. But you have to be willing to let God move you forward. And so I'm going to start here in Isaiah chapter 61. This is a passage of scripture that starts off, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And what I love about this verse is this was Jesus's opening sermon when he started his public ministry. you could go to Luke chapter 4. Real quick pause. How many of you have your notebooks with you? Because I'm giving you a lot of scripture today. Luke chapter 4, you can go there later. You'll see that Jesus, when he comes out of the wilderness, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's about to say his first message or preach his first message in the synagogue. The Bible said he's handed the scroll of Isaiah. He finds the place where it is written, and he finds this verse. Because he's setting the tone. Most preachers have a certain topic or message that's kind of their core message. This was Jesus' core message. I want you to see what he declares as he's saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is the anointing of God's Spirit upon Jesus. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, qualified me," I'm reading to you from the Amplified, "qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted." Let me pause there. I love that God knows that we as human beings can have broken hearts. That our hearts can break. They can break because we miss somebody we love. They break because we were hurt. They break because somebody left us that we didn't expect to leave us. Some of you are still mourning a relationship, a divorce, or a broken marriage, or a relationship from the past. Again, our hearts have the capacity to break. And I love that the Bible identifies that God's aware of that. But notice, in this verse, the Bible says that Jesus is anointed to bind up the brokenhearted. What do I see in that? I see it's not God's will for our hearts to remain broken. That if you've been living an extended period of time with a broken heart, it's time to let Jesus in to heal that broken heart. Sometimes our broken heart becomes so familiar to us, we don't remember what it feels like to not have a broken heart. And we live a version of ourselves that was never meant to be. Are you understanding that? That Jesus was anointed, we think he's anointed just to bring us to heaven. My friend, Jesus was anointed for so much more than that. He was anointed to destroy all the works of the devil. Come on, somebody. And grief and sorrow and mourning and all of that ungodly that settles in, that too long-lasting grief and agony and pain that breaks our hearts and doesn't allow us to move forward, that is not from God. And Jesus is anointed to bind up our broken heart. And I believe there's an anointing in the room today to put the pieces of your heart back together again. Whether you lost a job, a loved one, a dream, a goal, whatever it could be, there's an anointing. What do I mean by the anointing? The anointing is God's Spirit, which is why we come to church. I love that. You know, you can read all kinds of books, and I'm all about educating yourself and reading books on healing and comfort and bringing yourself through grief. Books are awesome, and I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to seek good Christian counseling. I think counseling is very beneficial. It's helpful. It's important. I think it's good for us in the natural to share our burdens and our broken heart with other people. But you know, there comes a time where sometimes all of that stuff we can do in the natural, it's still not, there's this hold on our heart, there's this hold on our emotions, on our lives, that is, it's a spiritual thing. And it's not something that we can just read books and read our way out of it. Or somehow in the natural, just work our way out of it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Sometimes we need the supernatural anointing, which is God's super on the natural, God's power to get involved to set me free. I've read the books. I've had the conversations. I've sought help, and many of you have been there, but yet you're still not progressing. You're moving forward. Take hope today. The anointing and the Holy Spirit of God is here in a supernatural way to finally bring you out of that captivity and into a place of wholeness and healing and binding up your broken heart. That God's Spirit can do it, and he can do it in one moment, just like that. This is one of the things I hope your faith rises to today, that God didn't bring you here today just to talk to you about your next or to have the possibility of a wholeness, but to give you that wholeness by the time this service is finished, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captive, the opening of prisons and of the eyes to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor, the day of vengeance of our God. And hear this line. Remember, this is Jesus, and he's still anointed. He's still anointed to do this. To comfort those who mourn. To comfort those who mourn. There is a time and a season for mourning. There's nothing wrong with missing and having a season where your heart is hurting. This is a new normal for you. You're missing those people that you love that were there, that aren't there And as we move into this next Christmas season, sometimes these things can become more forefront. Some of you, it's the first holiday you're going to have without some of those loved ones, or even the, like I said, even in a divorce, it's a different kind of Christmas this year, or who knows what. But there's an anointing to bring you to a place of comfort. There's nothing wrong with mourning. It becomes wrong when you don't let God bring you to the place of comfort. There's nothing wrong with having a brokenness but not allowing God to bring you wholeness. That's wrong. That's demonic. That's the devil stealing, killing, and destroying. We don't realize how the devil comes in to steal, kill, and destroy, but sometimes he steals, kills, and destroys by keeping you in a place of mourning and grief far too long. You think you're honoring the past loved one, when in reality, you're forfeiting what God still has for you. Do you understand this? We must allow God to bring us to a place of comfort. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit, one of his names is the Comforter, to bring you to a place out of mourning. I love verse 3, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion. Today, God is not just going to bring you comfort, but I believe he's going to give you cause for joy. It's one thing to just allow yourself to kind of be calmed down and put at peace. It's another thing to finally learn to dance again, to finally learn to laugh again and enjoy life again and move forward and see the beauty that still remains in the life ahead of you. Whether you're coming out of divorce, you lost a job, you lost a loved one, you're still alive and there's still more for you to live. Amen. And there's reason for you to come out of that grief and come out of that mourning. To give them ornaments and garlands or diadems of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. The garment of praise instead of a spirit of heavy burden and a failing spirit. That you would be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, magnificent, distinguished for uprightness and justice, right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Thessalonians, chapter 4. The book of Thessalonians, chapter 4. I want to talk to you about the expectation that we have, because today is not just telling you, hey, get over it. You know, don't think about it or whatever. I love what Pastor Brock was singing about and how he was talking about the day that we'll see our loved ones again. The Bible gives us hope that we will see those that have fallen asleep in the Lord, that we're going to see them again. And there's just this great reminder. It's not just this, hey, don't think about your loved one that was lost, but rather remember that your days ahead with them are far greater and longer than what we've experienced here on the earth. That this short period of time, this little gap between when you said goodbye to them to when you say hello to them won't compare to the beautiful eternity that we will share with them. Amen. And so the Lord is not just telling you to ignore them or get over it or don't think about them. He's just trying to build your expectation that you're going to see them again, but what will you do with the time before that? Will you choose to live again, or will you just act like you died too and forfeit the life and the years that you still have ahead? See, here in 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul was comforting those who they've lost loved ones. Now, in this in particular generation, you know, they could have died early because of sickness or disease. You know, obviously science and medicine has gotten a lot better. People died earlier back then. They could have died through battles and war and all kinds of stuff. They could have died for their faith as they're preaching and building the Lord's church for the first time. They could have died in persecution, martyrdom, trying to bring people to Jesus. And so Paul is trying to help this church find a place of comfort, but not just comfort, but the ability to continue to keep building and growing the kingdom. The ability to keep moving forward and living the life that they still have. They still have things inside of them that the world needs. And I speak that over you right now. You still have the Holy Spirit inside of you. There are talents and gifts and callings. There's a reason you have years in front of you. But if you act like you've died, if you don't allow yourself to live, you're letting the devil win. As long as you remain, guess what? Your light, your salt, your solutions, you can still accomplish great things. Somebody say amen. There's a reason you're still here. Amen. And so Paul is not just trying to help them get over it. He's trying to inspire them that you're going to see them. It's just a little while and we'll see them again, but we still have this much life to contend with. We still have this much life. Now, how will we engage in it? How will we move forward? So he inspires them in this verse. He says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he says, "Now also we should not want you to be ignorant, brethren, about those who have fallen asleep in death, that you may not grieve for them as the rest do who have no hope." Now, it's not that you're not allowed to grieve, but we don't grieve like the rest of the world, that when somebody dies, they think that's it. That is not it. This life is a vapor. This body that we have is just a set of clothes. And one day we will lay these clothes on the floor and the real us will go on living for eternity. Somebody say amen to that. Absolutely. We don't grieve like those who have no hope, as the rest who have no hope beyond the grave. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will also bring with him, with Jesus, through Jesus, those who have fallen asleep in death. For this we declare to you by the Lord's own word, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall in no way proceed in his presence or have any advantage over all of those who have previously fallen asleep in death. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a loud cry of summons. I love that. With the shout of an archangel and the blast of the trumpet of God. And those who've departed this life in Christ will rise first. They'll get their resurrected bodies. Then we, the living ones who remain on the earth, shall simultaneously be caught up along with the resurrected dead in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so always, and I love this line in the Amplified Bible, write it in your notes, so always through eternity of eternities. Through eternity of eternities. There'll be no end, amen. Through eternity of eternities, we, you and your loved ones, we shall be with the Lord. Amen. Somebody celebrate that. Come on now. And Paul says, therefore, comfort and encourage one another with these words. I hope that these words right now, supernaturally, this is the word of the Lord. May it go forth like a sword and may it cut off chains that keep you bound. You will see your loved one again. Start living your destiny. You're still here. God has more for you. You will see them. They will be a great family reunion in the sky. And it will last from eternity to eternity. So again, the Bible isn't saying just get over your grief and mourning and pretend like they never existed and just don't think about them. The Bible's saying, don't worry, you'll see them soon. So now you can concentrate on what you're to be doing while you're here. Amen? Open your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Philippians chapter 3. So we now have a responsibility. We now have a responsibility. And that is to move forward, to make a choice to come out of the grief, to come out of sorrow, to come out of the mourning, to come out of our past, and begin to embrace what's next, and to realize that's God's will for your life. The Bible says here, the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he says, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended everything, but one thing I do, one thing he basically said I figured out, and that's this, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead or before. That's the message for you today. It's not forgetting your loved one and moving forward is somehow forgetting that they existed. No, it's this conscious decision, this responsibility that says, I need to let go of the past. I need to let go of what has happened so that I can lay hold because there's still more for me to come. There's still more in my future. There's still more life for me to live. Now, the Apostle Paul, he's a great expert in this conversation because sometimes now, like I said, I want today to be more than just missing your loved ones, people who've lost somebody. Some of us have been stuck in a grieving period, in a mourning period, whether it's losing a job, but also past sins and failures. And it's time for you to let go of those things so that you can be who God's called you to be today. We get stuck in captivity. And remember, Jesus said, I'm anointed to bring people out of captivity. That captivity can be grief. It can be mourning. It could be guilt. It could be shame. You see, the Apostle Paul, he had all kinds of these things going on. That's why he's so qualified to make this statement. He says, I've learned something. I've had to let go of some things to lay hold on some things. The Apostle Paul had to let go of some good things from the past. Some successes. He was a very successful Pharisee. He was very well-received, very well-respected in his trade and in his position in the culture. And he had to let go of that because he knew that's not going to bring him to what he wanted in Jesus and what God was doing in his life. He had to let go of some of those past successful things, those past impressive things that stroked his ego and nature. Paul had to let go of some of those things. There were some relationships back there. There were teachers of the law and Pharisees and people that he had relationships with. He had to let go of some of those relationships because those relationships were not going to bring him to the next that God had for him. He had to let go of some theology, some things he believed about the past, some things that he was rock solid in the past. He had to let go of those things and lay hold of the doctrine of the gospel of being saved by grace and not by the law. Are you understanding this? Paul had to let go of a lot of things to lay hold of who God had for him to become in the Apostle Paul. But you know, Paul also had to let go of some guilt because Paul was one of the initiators of the early persecution of the church. It was by his recommendation, and he kind of led the charge to kill individuals who professed Jesus. He would lead people into homes and soldiers into homes and tear families apart. Kids would lose their mom and their dads, and they'd drag dad off into prison because they professed Jesus. And Paul was behind the whole thing. Do you understand that Paul also had to let go of some of that guilt, those emotions, those memories of watching families be ripped apart? He couldn't, even though he gave his life to Jesus, he couldn't put those pieces back together again. And Paul now becomes the great apostle of grace. Do you understand? Paul understood what it meant to having to let go of some things to lay hold of some things. I have these presents up here, and I use presents on purpose because I believe God has a gift for you in your future. God has something he wants to give you, but here's the problem. When our hands are full, we can't receive the next that God has for us. What do I mean by hands? What are your hands in the spirit? Hope you write this down in your notes. Because we don't, with our physical hands, grab a hold of the next from God, do we? You don't grab a hold of God's next dreams or prophetic words. You don't grab a hold of it with your hands. But there is a way that we grab a hold of it, and it's with our hearts. It's with our mind, our will, our emotions. Write that down in your notes. How do we grab a hold of God's promises? How do we grab a hold of God's next? How do we grab a hold of what's to come? The spiritual hands that you grab a hold of your future with is your mind, your will, your emotions, your heart, all those pieces. So here's the deal. If your heart and your mind and your emotions are so full of what you've lost, your mind is always thinking about where you were, your mind is also always thinking about grieving over the past, your heart and your emotions is so out of sorts with mourning and grief or shame or guilt, if your heart is full of all those things, you don't have the capacity to lay hold of what God's talking to you about. Every time God wants to give you a next, you keep bumping into your shame. You keep bumping into your grief or your mourning. God's trying to talk to you about a future, and you're like, yeah, but I lost my husband. Yeah, but I lost my mom. Yeah, but I lost my wife. Yeah, but it hurts and whatever. And every time God tries to hand you a future, you keep holding on to the past. Come on. And you can't lay hold of what God has for you in the next because your heart and your mind refuses to just let go of what has been. And you can't pick up the new and the next. And so Paul teaches us. He says, hey, God has a next. God has a hope and a future for you. But you're going to have to take the responsibility now to let go of some things so you can lay hold of some things. Don't miss what's still to come today and tomorrow in this Christmas season, in the next month after that, and the years to come because you're living in the past. You're living in relationships of the past, in wounds of the past, in shame and guilt of the past. Some of you can't enjoy this Christmas because you still feel guilty about what you did or didn't do last Christmas. You need to let go of it to lay hold that God has something for you. He has a gift. He has a present for your present. You understand what I'm saying? But we have the responsibility. Paul was saying, you know, I've learned this. And all of us have things that have a difficult time of letting go of, but we have to learn to let go of them so that our hearts and our minds can say, God, I'm open. God, I'm open to receive the future. And I believe that's kind of the biggest word for today for so many of you. This is what I believe the Lord was shifting us into today, was that God still has a life and a future for you, but you have to be willing to say yes to it. And you say yes to it by letting go of some things to lay hold of some things. It's not dishonor or disrespectful to move forward in your life. I don't know if that'll free you or not. I hope it does. But I think it's important that you hear me as your pastor say that to you. It is not disrespectful towards your loved one or even towards the Lord to move forward with your life. My dad just remarried 2 weeks ago. I think some of you said you saw that on Facebook. And we had a conversation about that, myself and my two sisters, before he got remarried. He remarried an amazing lady. She's awesome. Her name is Elaine. She's a prayer warrior. She knows the Bible. She loves Jesus with all of her heart. And she's going to be a tremendous addition to our family. It's great to have another intercessor in the Kringle family line. Thank you, Jesus. But my dad had a conversation with me, and he wanted to make sure that we, the kids, were kind of up to speed with it. And he basically said, Kevin, Mom's not coming back, which we know. And part of my dad did die with my mom, but not all of my dad. And he was saying, I'm 70 years old. I've got a lot of life ahead. And I'd like to live that with someone in my life. And you know, us as kids, it's challenging to see your parent find another spouse or whatever. But you know what? We know dad's got a good 20-something years left. Kringles live a long time. And I know that it wouldn't honor my mom and it wouldn't honor God for him to spend the next 20 years sitting in his house, in a dark house, watching Hallmark movies, missing my mom forever. Does that make sense? See, because inside of that 70-year-old Kringle, there's a lot of Word of God in my dad. There's a lot of anointing still in my dad. There's a lot of talent and ability still in my dad. Are you following me? And by him allowing God to bring him a next, it's going to bring out all of those things that are still in my dad. But if he chose to lay hold of the past and just grieve and mourn in an unhealthy way and just let himself die a slow death in a house alone, the devil wins. And there's a whole lot of people that would have been blessed by what's still in my dad if he let himself die with my mom, but yet still go on living. Do you see what I'm saying? So I want to kind of capture all of this idea of moving forward and knowing that there's a next. There's a few practical things that we have to do in that responsibility to let go of, to lay hold of. I'm going to capture it in an Old Testament story. Doesn't sound like a Christmassy story, but it really works with where we're headed. And it's the book of Ruth. You can write that down in your notes. The book of Ruth. Let me give you an overall picture of the book of Ruth, and then I'll kind of teach my way through it and kind of give you the steps to walk out of grief and mourning and letting go of the past and laying hold of the future. There's four key steps I'll share with you. But let me give you the overall story. So there was a family, a lady by the name of Naomi. She was married to her husband. She had two sons. They left Judah, the Bethlehem area in Judah, and they moved to Moab because there was a famine in her hometown, her homeland. There was a lack, so they moved to Moab to come out of the famine and take care of the family. While they were in Moab, her sons got older. They married, each got married. One son married a girl named Ruth. The other son married a lady named Orpah. In the progress of time, in the course of time, her husband dies. Naomi's husband dies. And a little later, her two sons die. There's a lot of grief there. Do you see that? I just want you to see that we're not alone. People have felt these things. She was a widow. She lost her husband of many years. And then she lost both of her sons. Her whole family was gone within a short period of time. There's a lot of reason there to stay in a position, in an address of mourning and grief, to make that your residence. But not only was she a widow and had lost both of her sons, now her two daughter-in-laws, they were both widows as well. So they have experienced loss. Ruth and Orpah both, they were now widows. They loved their husbands. They had history. They had years with their husbands. Sometimes we don't make the stories of the Bible, the people human. You know what I mean? We're like, oh, it was Ruth. Her husband died. She moved on. No, she lost her husband, man. And her hope of her future and where she thought her life was going, and they had it planned out just like most people do, and it all changed just like that. Are you following me? And so in this story, they all lose their husbands and their sons, and Naomi hears that Judah is recovered from the famine, and Naomi knows in her heart she can't stay here. And so she chooses to go back to Judah, to the Bethlehem area. And her two daughter-in-laws say, we'll go with you. And Naomi's like, no, you need to stay. I can't have any more sons. You need to stay and have a different life here and all that stuff. And so Orpah says, all right, I'll stay. Ruth says, I will not leave. I'm going with you. So she does. She goes back to Judah, Bethlehem with Naomi. And she goes to work in the fields because there's a custom back then that you could go and pick up the leftovers when the reapers would go through the fields. The poor could feed themselves by picking up the scraps around the sides and edges of the field. So Ruth goes to do that. And then towards the end of that story, she meets a guy named Boaz, and that's where we're going to move today. Let me give you some of the steps and some of the keys, because it's a really great progression, and there's some great how-tos that I want to leave you with today in the story of Ruth and how to possess the next thing that God has for you. Open your Bibles to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Chapter 1. And it's just a key line. And sometimes I love it when the Holy Spirit just gives you one sentence, and the word is that powerful, and in that one sentence, it can set you free. How many of you believe that one sentence from God can set you free? Anybody? There's a whole sermon in a sentence. And the first step into moving and letting go of the grief and the mourning or being bound to the loss is actually found right here in Ruth chapter 1, verse 7. And it's a simple verse. It just says this. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was. Like, Pastor Kevin, that just seems so ambiguous. It seems so simple. And she went forth out of the place where she was. I love how the Amplified says it. It just says, she left the place where she was. You know, the first step into possessing the next that God has for you, the life that God still has for you to live, the first step is to realize you don't want to stay in this grief and mourning and in this address anymore. That there's nothing left for you here in Moab, in the place of loss, in the place of pain, in the place of all this captivity. Are you understanding this? So Naomi, the first thing is this realization that I've been living here and I don't want to live here anymore. God wants to bring you to freedom today, but you have to come out of agreement with that place that you've been living, and to first of all realize I can live out of it, like I can get out of it, and then you got to make that decision to leave the place where you are. God can't make you do that. God has all this stuff prepared for you in Bethlehem, Judah, but if you refuse to leave the place where you are, you forfeit all that. Did you understand that? We forfeit that. So step number one is this desire to say, I'm ready to move on. I'm ready. I've realized this is where I've been living, and I don't want to live here anymore. It's time for me to move on. And so then she was willing to take steps. So that's all that step number one. Realize you don't want to live here anymore. And be willing to take steps. She left the place where she was. And she had a desire to move forward. That's step one today. Step two, Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. So Ruth says to Naomi in the exiting of Moab, she says, urge me not to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. What's the key there in letting go of to lay hold of the next, into moving forward out of grief, out of captivity, out of mourning, out of shame, out of sorrow? What's the key? What's the principle here? Notice what Ruth says. She says that where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people should be my people. Your God will be my God. Ruth had a willingness to embrace the new future, the unknown, the unfamiliar. See, when God brings you the next, when God is trying to give you the hope in your future, Ruth wasn't sitting there with a bunch of walls up saying, I want the next, but I won't go into the next. See, in the next, there was new people that she would have to meet. She says, your people are going to be my people. That's a big deal. When you've lost people or you're grieving or you're stuck in a previous season, God, in your next season, he will be introducing you to new people. Are you willing to meet new people? See, Ruth had to give up her old gods in Moab. She says, I'm going to give up my old gods and I'm going to make your God my God. Ruth was so open to whatever God would ask of her or bring her in the next season. Some people want to go into their next season, but they refuse to be open to that season. And they're defensive and they're still defending all the ways they used to do things. There's people that God was bringing in your life and you compare them to the past person. And again, it goes back to guilt or not wanting to dishonor them or whatever. In the next season, you have to completely let go and let God do something totally new. Let me use it in the idea of a job or a career. Someone loses a job, someone loses a career, and God wants to bring them into a new season or a new career, but they're grieving and mourning the last career. And so their mindset is, God, I'll take the new thing as long as it's the last thing. But what if God is saying, no, your next season, you won't be doing anything that you were already trained in skill in doing. Your next that I have for you is completely out of the box. And so are you open? See, it's one thing to say, God, I want the next, but are you open if the next is nothing like the past? But if you want the next to be the past, you're still stuck in the past. Are you hearing me? Ruth was like, your people, I'm letting go of my people. I'm letting go of my false gods. I'm letting go of my culture, what I knew, and I'm totally open. I'm above the line. I'm curious. I have wonder. I'm open. I'm not closed and defensive. For God to bring you the next, you must make yourself open to the people, the thoughts, the ideas, the opportunities that God is bringing to you in the next. Are you open? And Ruth was, which is why she was able to move into the next season. Step 3, chapter 2, verse 7. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers. We talked about that, among the sheaves. So Ruth came, and she continued from early morning until evening, except when she rested just a little bit in the house. See, Pastor Kevin, what does that mean? Well, glad you asked, so I'll explain it to you. Sometimes we mistakenly believe that in possessing the future that God has for us and in bringing us out of captivity, out of bondage, out of those places, into the next, that somehow it's just supernaturally just going to go into our life and just be dropped into our hands and it's just going to be perfect because it's a promise. Ruth, in her next, had to go to work. There was effort on Ruth's part to embrace her next. Go back to the idea of a new career. You may have to get another additional education for your new career, but that doesn't mean it's not God's promise for you. But you had to go back to work. But God had something bigger and different for you, but were you open to receive it? And some of us are like, well, I can't do that because that would cause me to have to go study more. What about new people? Coming out of captivity, out of mourning, out of grief, you've been living in your house, isolated. It's going to take work to go meet new people. Go back and get involved in maybe helping in the food pantry so that you can be a volunteer. And being a volunteer, you make some new friends. See, because you and your spouse, you had your whole circle of friends, and now that circle isn't the same because your spouse isn't there. And so you have a choice, either live isolated or take the risk, do the work to make a friend again. Get involved in some groups or some clubs or not like clubs, like we know what I'm talking about. Like get involved in some like book clubs or get involved in like some serving things. You know what I mean? Some of you are picturing like your 75-year-old mom going, mom, you go. That's what the new hip was for. Yeah. You spent a lot of money on that hip. Anyway, but what I want us to see is the Bible doesn't pull any punches that even in the next season that God has for your life, there's work. God is bringing you a next. It's going to be work to go back to work. It's going to be work to build those new relationships. It's going to be work. There's effort involved. There's effort involved in you changing, in you growing, in you putting yourself back out there. There's effort and work involved in possessing your next season in your life. And Ruth was willing to work. New friends, new skills. And then the last thing I'll bring to your attention in possessing the next. So far I've talked to you about she went from the place where she was. She was willing to embrace the new. She went back to work. This is all bringing her to her new future after her loss. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 3, Naomi realizes that Ruth has caught the attention of Boaz. Now, in their tradition, Boaz could marry Ruth, and in doing so, it would actually bring their family inheritance back into the family. Boaz could be their redeemer and bring his wealth and his family and Naomi's family and all that she had previously back into the family and bring them back to a place of abundance and inheritance. And Naomi realized that Ruth caught Boaz's attention. He saw her, and he liked what he saw. And Naomi was smart. She was that matchmaker, that anointing, that matchmaker came on. And she looked at Ruth and she said this, and this is your prophetic word right now for some of you. And again, these things, they seem like simple sentences. For some of you, it's going right over your head. But for some of you, these simple sentences are changing your life if you'll let it do the work. Ruth chapter 3, verse 3. Here's a release, here's a sermon, here's a message, here's a sentence. Ruth says to, or Naomi says to Ruth, wash and anoint yourself, therefore, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. Wash and anoint yourself, therefore, put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. A shortened way to say that is wash your face, wipe away the tears, prepare yourself for the next. You know, sometimes we don't realize that we're carrying our grief on our face, our eyes, our clothes. We haven't bought any new clothes because who is there to impress? We haven't gone out and replaced anything in the house because we don't want to hurt or offend the person that's no longer there anymore. And you know what that communicates when you wash your face and you anoint yourself and you put on that new dress or you get yourself all purted up again? It means you're preparing yourself to meet people. You're preparing yourself for the next. You're getting yourself ready. You're taking off the clothes of mourning and you're putting on the clothes of expectation. Is this making sense? It's not just about the beauty parlor. It's not just about the clothes. It's a symbol. It's an act, a physical act of saying, I am not living in the past. I'm putting on expectations. So some of you, by the word of the Lord today, I say, go out and buy yourself a new dress. Some of you ladies need to say amen. Ladies, say amen. Let's clarify. Say amen. Or the best thing you can do is go out and get yourself, wash your face and get yourself all gussied up, because you're living now in a place of expectation, saying, I'm putting my shoulders back, putting my head up, and I'm getting back out there to meet people. One of the best things you can do is replace some furniture in your house, move some things around, because you're saying, it's a new day. you're like, yes, Jesus, I'm getting a new couch for Christmas, woo! Some of you all need to go buy the biggest television. Come on, guys. Listen, it's not about the stuff. But it's this mentality that says, put off the garments of mourning. And in a natural way, wash your face, clean yourself up, get ready to present yourself to the world again. Do you hear that? Get ready to meet the world again. The world still needs you. The world still needs you. There's a Boaz in your future. Let me walk this journey. A few years ago, our friend of the church, his name's Derek Smith, he came and he preached a message on Ruth, and I remembered this illustration. I thought it was really appropriate for what we're talking about today. And he talked about this progression where God has a Boaz in your future. And I'll talk about the fullness of what Boaz means as I conclude this thing. But notice here, this is Ruth. And this is Ruth in Moab. And sometimes we don't realize what we're giving up if we're not letting God move us into the next things of our lives. It's not a little thing. See, sometimes we think God, when he's talking about bringing you comfort, and he's talking about bringing you out of mourning and grief, you think that the Lord is just trying to make you feel better. Listen to me, my friend. There is more to you than just trying to make you feel better. He put a lot of stuff in you that still has purpose. And there's stuff in your future that's not just about making you feel better, but it's eternal stuff that still needs to happen, which is why you're still here on the planet. And so Ruth, she could have stayed in Moab, but notice her Boaz was in Judah, Bethlehem. She cannot receive what God has for her if she doesn't choose to move from the place that she had been. If you don't make a decision to move from the place you have been, we are forfeiting the life that God still has for you and the possessions and the present that God still has for you now. And there's just no easy way to say that. You know what I mean? Like, we want God to give it to us, but God's saying, I've prepared it. I know where it needs to be in your timeline and in your journey, but you have to be willing to move away from where you've been and go where I'm leading you. That's your responsibility. It's your decision. That's why Paul said, I have to let go of, to lay hold of. It's not God, and it's not the devil that gets to say yes or no. It's you that has to say yes. Are you feeling this? Whether you lost a job, or you're grieving over a past, you're grieving over an opportunity that didn't come through, whatever you've got to let go of, it's time to move forward because there's a Boaz in your future. And so maybe today you don't make it all the way there, but if I can even just give you to move one step closer, that's progress. But the ultimate goal is this, that you keep letting God lead you into the hope and future he still has for you. And in doing so, you'll allow God to lead you and possess the Boaz that he still has for you when you've come out of that place of your past, of your loss, of your grief, of your pain, or whatever that is. You know what Boaz represents? Think about this. Here's how the story goes. Ruth marries Boaz, and they have a son. Their son's name is Obed. Obed has a son, and his name is Jesse. Jesse has a son, and his name is David. David takes out Goliath, becomes one of the mightiest kings of Israel. And oh, by the way, years and years and years later, through the line of David comes Jesus. See, what would Ruth have been giving up if she would have stayed in grief, in mourning, never to live again because she lost her husband, she lost her loved one, she stayed in that place of the past? What would she have been giving up? You have no idea how the next that God has for you is connected to people's eternal life, connected to people's hope and future. You saying yes to live rather than let yourself die with your loved one is saying yes to so many things that God can still do with your life. Again, it's not just about making you feel better. God wants you to feel better. The Holy Spirit wants to comfort you. But he also wants to continue to impact the world through your life. You have more to give. Somebody say amen to that. You have more to give. A couple closing thoughts. Pastor Brock, you can come. I want to say this, because I want to make sure you know I'm respecting all of you who've lost somebody. You know I lost my mom a little over a year ago. And I can say this, that missing my mom is not wrong. But missing my future because I miss my mom is wrong. And that would not honor my mom, nor would it honor Jesus. Missing your loved one, your old career, people from your past is not wrong. But letting that make you miss your future, that is wrong. You know, in preparing for this message this weekend, it brought me back to a memory that I had with my mom. And I had totally forgotten about it. And I remembered the one time I was allowed to dance with, or I was able to dance with my mom. We didn't dance a lot in church growing up because dancing was a sin. So was everything else except eating. And so even at our wedding, we didn't have dancing. But I remember the one time I danced with my mom. And I'll tell you where it was. It was right there. See, on opening day, when we opened this facility, it was filled with this neat presence of worship. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I was up here in the front row singing, and my mom was in the second row. And she came around the front, and she grabbed me by the arms, and she danced in a circle with me right here in the front. And that's the one time I remember dancing with my mom. And my mom didn't dance a lot. There was something of the Lord right there. So this little spot right here is super special to me. But you know, I don't grieve today as one who has no hope, because that may be the one time I can remember dancing with my mom, but I'll tell you this, it won't be the last time I dance with my mom. And right now, my mom is probably dancing on the streets of gold in ways that we could possibly never imagine, which is why the Bible says it's not just about, hey, don't grieve, but don't grieve like those who have no hope. We have hope. It's just a temporary, like the Bible says, vapor until we see them again. So don't stop living and don't get stuck in the past. Let God bring you the next. Let God bring you the Boaz. But it's going to take some things. You being willing to move from where you are. You being open to new ideas, new people, new traditions, new experiences. Yes, the next Christmases aren't going to be like the last Christmases. It's going to be new. But it's going to be good if you let it be good. Come on, somebody. You're willing to do the work because there's work in the new. And then also, wash your face. Start making some changes as if you're going back out and living again. Go ahead and stand up. Let me pray this over you. Is that all right? Thanks, Isaiah. Let's pray. Let me ask you this question first. If in any way you found yourself grieving or stuck in something from the past and this message was for you to free you today, would you just raise your hand? Look at all those hands over the place. I'm telling you that what years of trying to get free haven't done, the Spirit of the Lord is here to do it today. So let's go ahead and ask the Lord to finish this. Put your hand over your heart and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you would come. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is upon you to bind up the brokenhearted. And I pray right now, not one person would leave this place with a broken heart, but that their heart would be made whole. Do it by your Spirit. Do it by your Spirit. We've read the books. We've had the counseling. We've shared with Grief Fellowship, and they've been awesome, and we appreciate them. But now do the rest that hasn't been able to be done and heal the heart completely. Lord, I ask that you help us to let go of some stuff. Loss, grief, pain, shame, guilt, whatever, sorrow, that we would lay hold, that our hearts and our minds would be, in a good way, open and ready to possess the dreams and the promises that you have for us. God, we're ready to move from where we were. We're ready to move forward. We're ready to do the work. We're open to new things. We're open to stuff that isn't like the past. It's different, but we're open. God, I just pray right now you give us your support, your comfort, your help, the anointing to do this. I pray such a shift in their hearts right now in Jesus' name that they literally, like a set of clothes, would take off the mourning and put on joy right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This Christmas will be different, but it'll be great because you've done a work in their hearts. I release them to live again. To live again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.